Hi, this is Pastor Matt, and I want to welcome you to our Blue Oaks Church podcast. At the end of this episode, feel free to download our Blue Oaks Church app, where you'll be able to access resources, events, and ways to get connected at Blue Oaks and in the community. The app is the easiest way to share this content with a friend, and it's the easiest way to keep up with everything going on around Blue Oaks. Most importantly, though, I just hope that you enjoy this episode and it inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey.
If we haven't met yet, my name is Matt Van Cleve, and I'm the teaching pastor here at Blue Oaks. And if you're new, I'd love to meet you. I'll be hanging out in the lobby or outside, so please come introduce yourself. Well, I don't know if you've noticed this, but Christmas has a funny way of exposing how not in control we really are. We try so hard to make everything perfect, the house, the tree, the plans, the budget, the kids' happiness, the family dynamics, but no matter how much we plan, something always slips through our fingers. The travel doesn't work out like we planned, it gets delayed, the weather doesn't cooperate, the Amazon package doesn't arrive, the family tension that we hope would just magically disappear during the holidays somehow surfaces at the dinner table, and we find ourselves carrying burdens that we didn't really plan on carrying, or fixing problems that we never asked for, or managing emotions that we didn't want to feel. Christmas reminds us that human strength has limits. And sometimes those limits show up exactly when we don't want them to. When Isaiah wrote, "His name shall be called Mighty God," he wasn't writing to people who felt like they were in power. He was writing to people who felt overwhelmed. Israel was surrounded by empires that measured power in chariots and armies and iron weapons and territory. Assyria was rising. Babylon was closing in. Nations were swallowed up overnight. And Isaiah's people didn't have much. Like, they didn't have any army strong enough. They didn't have political leverage. They didn't have economic strength. They didn't have the power to save themselves. So when Isaiah declared, "Don't be afraid, the Messiah will be called Mighty God," I mean, this felt like hope breaking into their story. Isaiah was saying, "You might be powerless, but God is not. You might feel small, but God is mighty. You might feel vulnerable, but you don't have to face the world alone." Fast forward 700 years to the first century, and the world hadn't changed very much. Rome was the definition of power. They built roads with forced labor. They enforced peace with crucifixions. They collected taxes with soldiers behind them. They made sure everyone knew where power lived, in palaces and in courts and in military camps. So imagine the shock when Christians started saying, "Actually, the real power in this world is with a baby in a manger. The real king wasn't born in Rome. The real king was born in Bethlehem." Like, everything about Christmas in the first century was subversive. Like, it was God announcing, "You think you know what power is? Watch this." And honestly, not much has changed in the 21st century either. We still chase power, just different kinds: climbing a corporate ladder, growing a portfolio, building a reputation, perfecting our image, controlling our surroundings, managing our kids' futures, optimizing our schedules, securing our technology, staying ahead of the curve. Like, we can't overthrow empires, but we try to run our lives like we're the CEO of everything. And no wonder we're tired. Like, we have more control than any generation before us. And yet we have more anxiety, more tools, yet we have more pressure, more opportunities, yet we have more exhaustion. We're powerful in all the ways that don't matter, and powerless in all the ways that do. It reminds me of a story a friend once told me. He bought one of those handheld massage guns, you know, the kind that sound like a jackhammer. because he wanted to fix a muscle that was wrong in his shoulder. And he turned it on high speed, pointed it at the wrong angle, hit a nerve, and immediately lost feeling in his arm for like 20 minutes. And he said, for those 20 minutes, I realized two things. I am not as smart as I think I am. And some power should only be handled by professionals. And that's us. Like, we're holding more power than ever. And we're realizing we might not be as good at managing it as we thought. This is why Isaiah's prophecy also speaks directly into our modern world, because we're living in a time when people feel the crushing weight of having to be strong all the time. And then Christmas arrives and whispers, you don't have to be strong because Jesus is. You don't have to carry the world because Jesus already does. You don't have to hold everything together because Jesus can. The manger is not a story of human power reaching up to God. It's the story of divine power reaching down to us. So today, as we look at this name, Mighty God, I want to explore what it means that Jesus isn't just a wise teacher or a comforting presence, but a God of strength and authority and supernatural power who steps into the parts of our life where we don't have the strength, where we've run out of strength. Because Christmas isn't just about, you know, the beauty of the season. It's a season of hope for tired and overwhelmed and out of our depth people who need a God who is stronger than our circumstances. So when Isaiah said the Mighty God, the Messiah, would be called Mighty God, he was saying something no one had categories for. You know, people in the ancient world, they knew what power looked like. Power was loud. Power was violent. Power marched in and with armies and like crushed everything in its way. And so when Isaiah declared the child who will come, he will be called Mighty God. He wasn't describing a self-help guru. He wasn't describing a wise philosopher. He wasn't even describing a kind of spiritual teacher. He was describing God as warrior, the one whose strength could overcome any army, the one whose strength could overcome any enemy or break any chain or silence any threat or heal any wound. And the surprising part, the part no one expected, is that this Mighty God would arrive as a baby. It's almost comical when you think about it. The one who holds galaxies together, the one who spoke the universe into being, the one who split seas and toppled empires and breathed life into dust, comes into this world not even able to hold up his own head. If you were God's marketing team, you would have not pitched this strategy. Like, no coronation, no throne room, no army, no sword, just a teenage girl, a confused carpenter, and a feeding trough. It's as if God wanted to make absolutely sure that we all understood his power is not like our power. Human power intimidates. Divine power humbles itself. And when Jesus grew up, his life was a walking demonstration of what God's power actually looks like. And it's not the kind of power that people expected. Like, Jesus shows power over nature. He speaks to a storm as if it's like a misbehaving dog. Quiet, be still, and the wind listens. Jesus shows power over sickness. He touches the untouchable. He touches lepers and bleeding women and paralyzed men, and their bodies respond to his voice. Jesus shows power over evil. Demons shriek and flee. Darkness trembles. Bondages break. Jesus shows power over death. He stands outside the tomb of his friend Lazarus, says, come out. And the dead man walks with breath in his lungs. This is no ordinary teacher. This is no ordinary prophet. This is no ordinary man. This is our Mighty God in flesh. It's funny because we're surrounded by power that constantly fails us. You know, our phone says it has 27 hours of battery life until you actually use it. Our car promises 300 miles of range until the heater's on and we're going uphill. Your Wi-Fi promises lightning fast speeds right up until you actually need it to be on a Zoom call. And we're surrounded by things that promise power, but don't deliver when it counts. Jesus does the opposite. He doesn't make big promises that let you down. He meets you in the middle of your storm, and he actually has the power to calm it. One of the most breathtaking things about Jesus is not just that he has power, but how he uses it. He never uses his power to elevate himself. He never uses his power to dominate or humiliate. He never uses his power to distance himself from people. He uses his power to restore dignity to people who are broken. He uses his power to heal people long before he asks them to change. He uses his power to set captives free, not to create new captives. In other words, his might is never divorced from his mercy. He is powerful enough to save, but he's also gentle enough to embrace. He holds authority in one hand and compassion in the other. This is the kind of power the world has always needed, but has never known. One of the most comforting truths in the story of Jesus is this: God doesn't wait for you to become strong before he shows you his power. Jesus didn't come to congratulate the self-sufficient. He came for the overwhelmed. He came for the exhausted. He came for the anxious and the weary and the broken and the ones who were tired of pretending. In fact, the parts of our lives that feel weakest are often the places where God's power shows up most clearly. Jesus said to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That means you don't have to be strong for God to work. You just have to be honest. You know, at some point in life, all of us reach that moment when our power runs out. The diagnosis is worse than expected. The marriage feels heavy or confusing. The job becomes unstable. The finances are tight. The anxiety climbs. The grief hits harder than we ever knew it could. And in those moments, we realize something important. Human power can't carry what the soul was never meant to lift alone. And that's when mighty God becomes more than theology. That's when mighty God, our mighty God, becomes strength to keep you standing. So where do you feel powerless right now? Where do you feel like you've hit the end of what you can manage? Where do you feel like the storm is too big, or the problem is too heavy, or the fear is just too deep? Wherever that is, that's exactly where our mighty God wants to meet you. Not to scold you, not to shame you, but to show you that his strength has never depended on yours. One of the most surprising things about Jesus, something that people in the first century struggled with and people in our day still struggle with, is this simple truth: God's power shows up where our power runs out. And we tend to think the opposite. We think God helps those who help themselves. We think God shows up when we've gotten our life together. We think God's power is something we have to earn, right? By being good enough or being disciplined enough or spiritual enough or strong enough or whatever. But the story of Scripture is the exact opposite. God doesn't wait for human strength. What God does is he fills human weakness. All throughout the Bible, God seems almost drawn to weakness. He calls Moses, a guy with a speech impediment, to confront the most powerful ruler in the world. He calls Gideon, who doubted himself so deeply that he asks for signs. He asks him to lead an army. He calls David, a teenage shepherd boy, to defeat a giant. He calls Mary, a young girl from an insignificant town, to carry the Messiah. I mean, if we had been in charge of assembling a dream team for the kingdom of God, like, none of us would have put those people on our list. But God says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Why? Because when strong people do big things, everyone praises that person. But when weak people do impossible things, everyone sees the power of God. You know, we love the idea of strength. Modern culture idolizes it. Like the strong leader, the strong personality, the strong resume, the strong brand. We pretend we're strong far longer than we actually are. It's kind of like when you help someone move and you're carrying a box that you think is heavy, but it's manageable until halfway down the stairs, your back says, hey, buddy, we're not 25 anymore. Or when you try to tighten something around your house just a little bit more and suddenly you're bleeding, right? Googling, when should I go to urgent care? Like human strength has a short shelf life. God's strength doesn't. Almost every story of Jesus stepping into someone's life begins with weakness. A woman too ashamed to go to the well in the daylight. A father whose child is dying. A leper who hasn't felt touch from a human being in years. A paralytic whose friends have to carry him because he can't walk on his own. A widow who just lost everything. A tax collector who's hated by everyone, including himself. And Jesus doesn't say, come back when you're stronger. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus gravitates toward brokenness the way a doctor gravitates toward wounds. Now, the Bay Area may be one of the most accomplished regions in the world, but it's also one of the most exhausted. Like, we're surrounded by high performers who carry unspoken pressure to be successful, to be impressive, to be self-sufficient, to never let anyone see the cracks, to manage everything flawlessly. Like, we've mastered the art of appearing strong while quietly falling apart inside. And Jesus says, I'm not impressed with any of it. I'm not impressed with your performance. I'm not asking you to hold it all together. I'm asking you to bring to me what you can't carry. He doesn't bless our polished image. He blesses our honest weakness. And I once heard someone describe the moment that they realized they need God. They said this, I was doing everything I could to stay strong. And then one night I broke. I just completely broke. And weirdly, that's where I felt God the most. Not when I was impressive. It's actually when I stopped pretending. And I think a lot of us underestimate how comfortable God is with our collapse. He's not thrown off by it. He's not disappointed by it. He's not surprised by it. And I think he sees it as the first honest moment that we've had with him in a really long time. Ironically, what keeps us from experiencing our mighty God is not our weakness. It's our pride. We want to be the hero of our own story. Like, we want to be the solution to our own problems. We want to prove that we can handle it all. But the gospel says you can't be both the hero and the rescued. You can carry the world or you can let God carry you. You can't do both. So let me ask you, where do you feel like you've hit the end of yourself? Where are you tired of pretending? Where are you out of strategies? Where do you keep saying, I can handle this, but you can't? Where do you feel the weight pressing on you more deeply, maybe this time of the year? That's exactly the place where Jesus wants to show himself as mighty God in your life. He doesn't ask you to be strong. He asks you to surrender. So if Jesus meets us in our weakness, what does that power actually do in us? Like, how does our mighty God change the way we face storms or fear or limitations or impossible situations? If you're taking notes, would you just write this down? Our mighty God gives strength where we could never produce it ourselves. And the longer I follow Jesus, the more convinced I am that his power doesn't show up around us. It shows up in us. Our mighty God isn't just some cosmic force working planets and parting seas. He's a deeply personal God who empowers ordinary, overwhelmed people to do things that we never imagined we can do. I want to give you several ways that he does this. So if you're taking notes, I just ask you to write these down. Number one, he gives strength to endure what we cannot escape. One of the quiet miracles of the Christian life is endurance. We don't talk about that one very much. We're drawn to dramatic stories, the healings, the miracles, the breakthroughs, the moments where everything changes in an instant. But often the greatest display of God's might is not when he removes a burden, but when he gives you the strength to carry it. Some of the most extraordinary Christians that you'll ever meet are not the loudest, they're not the most visible, but the ones who have walked through deep suffering with like supernatural steadiness that doesn't make any sense apart from God. A diagnosis or a loss or a betrayal or a long season of uncertainty, and somehow they're still standing, they're still faithful, they're still hopeful, they're still anchored. You know, that's not human grit. That's the presence of a mighty God. Number two, he gives strength to do what we once thought was impossible. The New Testament is filled with moments where the disciples do things like no human could do on their own power. Peter preaches with boldness days after he was denying Jesus. Paul sings worship songs in prison. The early church gives generously in poverty. Ordinary believers forgive their enemies at great personal cost. Entire communities form around compassion and self-sacrifice, things that do not come naturally to us. I mean, these are stories of they're not stories of remarkable human beings. They're stories of ordinary human beings who are filled with an extraordinary strength. Our mighty God turns fearful people into courageous ones. He turns anxious people into peaceful ones. He turns bitter people into forgiving ones. He turns broken people into whole ones. Have you ever had a moment where you handled something so out of character for you, like so beyond your own emotional bandwidth, that afterward you thought, like, who was that? It couldn't have been me. Like the first time you said no to something that you normally say yes to because you didn't want to disappoint someone, and later you're checking your pulse thinking, did I just set a boundary? Like, is that what healthy people do? Or when you walk through a hard season with calm and wisdom, and afterwards someone said, I don't know how you did that. And you realize, I don't know how I did it either. That's our mighty God at work in you. That strength that you didn't manufacture, it was given to you. Number three, he gives strength to face fear with peace. You know, fear is one of the loudest forces in our lives. We have this fear of failing, this fear of not being enough, this fear of losing someone, this fear of being alone, this fear of not having enough, fear of failure. And if we're honest, most of our decisions are shaped more by fear than we realize. But Jesus has this way of putting courage into people. That's literally what the word encourage means, to put courage into someone. He doesn't shame your fear. He doesn't say, stop being afraid. He says, take heart, I am with you. Fear loses its power, not because circumstances change, but because our mighty God is with us. Number four, he gives strength to forgive what shouldn't be forgiven. One of the clearest signs of God's mighty power is forgiveness, because forgiveness is not natural. It's not intuitive, it's not easy, and it certainly doesn't feel fair. But forgiveness is one of the ways that God sets captives free, not just the person that hurt you, but you. I've watched people forgive things that would have destroyed others, like not because they're saints, not because they're superhumans, not because of any of those reasons, but because God gives them strength that they didn't possess on their own. If forgiveness is ever supernatural, it's because our mighty God has stepped in. And number five, he gives strength to hope again. Perhaps the most underrated power Jesus gives us is the strength to hope again after hope has been shattered. Life has a way of beating the hope out of us. A dream didn't pan out, a relationship that ended, a season that collapsed, a loss that just cut way deeper than we expected, prayers that seem unanswered. And then somehow, in the middle of the pain, in the middle of the numbness, you feel like this flicker of hope again. A sense that life is not over, a sense that God is not done, a sense that the story is still being written. And that flicker is not you. It's our mighty God breathing life back into a tired soul. You know, one woman in our church, I believe she was just trying to encourage me, but she told me, I went through the hardest season of my life. And the strangest part is I didn't fall apart. I felt held. I felt strengthened. I felt like God was carrying me. And if you've ever had a moment like that, a moment where you should have collapsed, but you didn't, that's our mighty God. Not distance, not detachment, not passive observation, but presence and strength and power and sustaining love. That's who he is. So let me ask you, where do you need strength right now? Strength to endure a difficult season? Strength to make a hard decision? Strength to forgive someone? Strength to keep going when you feel done? Strength to trust when your heart feels fragile? Strength to let go of something that you've been clinging to? Strength to maybe start again? Strength to hope again? Whatever that place is, our mighty God wants to meet you there. Not to give you a pep talk, not to tell you to toughen up, but to fill you with the strength that you can't generate on your own. So if Jesus really is our mighty God, and he brings strength that we cannot produce, and if his power works in us, the question becomes, like, how do we actually live in this kind of power every day? Not just admire it, like, not just sing about it at Christmas, not just, like, intellectually believe it, but, like, actually experience it on Monday morning and on Tuesday afternoon and on Saturday night in the grind of real life. You know, the truth is many Christians believe in God's power, but live as if everything depends on them. Like, we carry burdens alone, we try to fix everything ourselves, we mentally rehearse worst case scenarios, we try to outthink our anxiety, we push ourselves beyond our limits, we operate like the weight of the world is actually on our shoulders. But living in God's power begins with something most of us resist, something we've talked about before, surrender. That's when it begins. Which brings us to the first point about living in God's power every day. If you're taking notes, I want to write these down. Living in God's power begins where self-reliance ends. The single greatest barrier to experiencing our mighty God is the illusion that we don't need him. We think, I've got this, I can handle this, I can figure it out, I just need to try harder. But our mighty God doesn't empower our self-sufficiency. He empowers our surrender. You cannot live in your own strength and God's strength at the same time. You can cling to control or you can cling to Christ, but you can't do both. This is why the writer of Scripture says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. God is not impressed with our independence. He is impressed with our dependence, with our surrender. Have you ever had one of those moments where you insisted on doing something yourself, even though you absolutely shouldn't have? Like assembling IKEA furniture without reading the instructions, right? Like 3 hours later, you're staring at a pile of leftover screws thinking, those are probably fine, right? Or carrying every grocery bag in one trip because apparently going back to the car twice is a sign of weakness. or refusing help with a project because you want to prove that you can do it, and then you realize, you know what, I can't do it. And we laugh about that, but spiritually, we do the same thing. We say, I've got this, until we don't. And that's often where our mighty God steps in. All right, the second point about living in God's power every day is this. Living in God's power requires staying close to the source. So power is never something we possess. It's something we receive. Jesus said in John 15, apart from me, you could do nothing. He didn't say, apart from me, you could do less. He didn't say, apart from me, you could do some things. He said, nothing. To live in God's power is to stay close to God's presence. That means cultivating practices that will keep our hearts open, like daily time in scripture. This is not just like a task. This is actually nourishment for our lives, or prayer, not as a performance, but as a way to surrender, or silence, not as like avoidance, but as listening, or community, not as an obligation, but as spiritual support. We don't willpower our way into God's strength. We abide our way into God's strength. All right, number three, living in God's power means acting in faith, not fear. God's power often shows up after we take a step of obedience. This is really important. Some of you need to hear this. You know, God's power shows up when we start moving forward, when we start taking a step. Peter didn't walk on water until he stepped out of the boat. Moses didn't see the sea part until he actually raised his staff. The widow didn't see oil multiply until she poured out what she had left. The servants didn't see water become wine until they actually filled the jars. Faith often looks like moving forward, even when you don't feel strong enough to move at all. God's power flows into people who take small, faithful steps in the direction of his voice. Number four, living in God's power looks like peace in the middle of chaos. Like, one of the greatest signs of God's power in your life is not that everything goes perfectly. It's that you're not shaken when things don't go perfectly. When Jesus was on the boat with the disciples, the storm was raging and Jesus was asleep. Like, he wasn't anxious. He wasn't overwhelmed. He wasn't Googling what to do during a storm at sea. He was just sleeping. You don't know. You want to know what God's power actually looks like? It looks like peace. It looks like rest. It looks like a heart settled in the presence of a mighty God, regardless of the storm going on around you. All right, number five, living in God's power comes through honest weakness. And this is the paradox of faith. God's power doesn't flow through polished people who pretend like they have it all together. God's power flows through people who take their fears and their insecurities and their limitations and their wounds, and they lay them down at his feet. The Apostle Paul said, "When I am weak, then I am strong." Not because weakness is powerful, but because weakness invites the power of God. And if you want to experience our mighty God, you don't have to be impressive. You really don't. You just have to be honest. A man once told me, I spent years asking God to make me stronger so that I could overcome what I was dealing with, but nothing changed. And then one day I prayed, God, I can't do it anymore. I need you. And that was the moment everything shifted, not because I became stronger, but because God finally had room to be strong in me. Again, that's not self-improvement. This is like God's supernatural, mighty power at work in your life. All right, the last point is this. Living in God's power is a daily choice. It's not a one-time prayer. It's not a spiritual high. It's not a mountaintop moment at a camp or in a service. It's a daily posture of surrender and trust and dependence. Every morning, God, I need your strength. Every afternoon, God, carry what I can't. Every evening, God, thank you for sustaining me. And over time, this becomes the rhythm of a transformed life, a life carried by a power that's far beyond our own. And so let me ask you again. Where do you need our mighty God to meet you right now? A relationship that's strained, a fear that's growing, a decision that's just overwhelming you, a burden that's just too heavy for you to carry, a grief that's too deep, a temptation that's too strong, a season that you're going through that's just too difficult. Wherever that is, that's the place where our God wants to display his power in your life. He doesn't wait for you to get stronger. He brings his strength to you. And so if Jesus is our mighty God, the one who brings strength and courage and peace and endurance, what does that mean for your life today? Like, what invitation is God placing before you in the middle of this Christmas season? You know, Christmas is full of lights and music and tradition and beauty, but beneath it all is a deeper truth that we can't miss. Christmas is the story of a God who stepped into human weakness with divine strength. Not a God who watches from a distance, not a God who critiques from the sidelines, not a God who waits for you to get your life together, but a God who comes near, a God who enters into the ache and the fear and the uncertainty and the exhaustion, not to shame you for being weak, but to show you that his strength has always been enough. Isaiah didn't say, "Unto us a baby might be born." He said, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." It's a promise, it's a guarantee, it's a declaration that God has already moved toward you. And maybe the most unbelievable part of the story is that our mighty God wrapped himself in human vulnerability. The one who created the stars slept under them. The one who commanded the seas learned to walk beside them. The one who holds power the world can't even fathom came small in human arms. Because God's strength is not like ours. Like human strength seeks advantage, God's strength seeks intimacy. Human strengths avoid weakness. God's strength enters it. Human strength says, "Prove yourself." God's strength says, "I'm with you." So one more time, where do you need our mighty God this Christmas? Where do you feel tired? Where do you just feel overwhelmed? Where do you feel like you're just not enough? Where's the place in your life where you've reached the end of what you can carry? Maybe it's a relationship that feels fragile. Maybe it's a decision that just is too big. Maybe it's the season that just feels too heavy. Maybe it's a grief that you didn't expect to carry this year. Maybe it's just the quiet weight of responsibility that no one else sees in your life. Whatever it is, you don't have to hide it from him. You don't have to be strong. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to pretend like you have it all together. Our mighty God is not asking for your strength. He's offering you his. You know, I sometimes imagine if Jesus walked through modern life with us, he wouldn't be impressed with the things that we're impressed with. Our schedules and our hustle and our constant attempts to control everything. I picture him looking at us and just gently saying, "Why are you carrying that along? You know I'm stronger than your inbox, right?" Because the truth is, we're often overwhelmed, not because God is absent, but because we haven't let him be strong for us. Jesus said in John 16, "In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." You don't have to overcome the world. He already has. You just have to let him carry what you can't carry. So today, in this moment, would you just open your heart to our mighty God who came not to crush you, but to carry you? All right, would you bow with me and pray as the worship team comes to lead us in the closing song? God, we're so grateful that in this world where there is just so much pressure, that you are our mighty God. You are strong and steady and faithful and unshakable. You see every burden that we are trying to carry. You know every fear that we are hiding. You know every place that we feel weak in our lives, and you don't turn away. You come near to us. And so I just ask you, God, for the person here who just feels exhausted, would you fill them with your strength? For the person here who's facing impossible decisions, would you just give them the courage they need? For the person who's maybe carrying quiet pain, would you just surround them with your comfort? For the person who feels alone, would you become for them Emmanuel, God with us? God, for anyone here who's maybe never opened up their life to you, would you just give them the courage right now to just whisper in their heart, Jesus, I need you. I need you to be my Savior. I need you to be my mighty God. And for those of us who've followed you for years but have been living in our own strength, would you teach us to surrender and to trust and to lean into your power and to let your strength be known in our weakness? God, thank you so much for coming so close to us during this Christmas season. We love you, and we just entrust our lives to you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we leave today, I just want to ask you to take a moment this week to just ask yourself, where do I need our mighty God to carry me? Where do I need our mighty God to carry me? And you may be surprised at how close he feels in that moment that you stop trying to be strong on your own. All right, would you stand with me as we sing this last song?
Hey, once again, thanks for listening. We hope you found something in this week's message to take away and apply to your life this week. If you live in the Bay Area, we would love to have you join us for one of our weekend services. For directions or information about what we have for you or your family, your students, you can go to blueoaks.church or download the app today. And we hope to see you on Sunday soon.